You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca.
And Andrew, for the teams who struggled the most, and they have that vaunted, you know, opportunity to pick number one, or maybe, you know, if your waiver wire has bids in on it, this is where, you know, you can make a great pick, or you can really just push yourself into a deeper hole by grabbing someone who had a really good first week, but is likely to not be able to sustain that. So that'll be my first question for you. When you look at any running backs or receivers who had a really good first week that you would say, you might want to pump the brakes on them having another big week.
Yeah, so I think that the easy guy here is Mark Ingram for the Houston Texans. And it sounds kind of weird because the guy is coming off a monster game where he had 26 carries for the Houston Texans. I mean, that was top five in week one among all running backs, among all players. His 26 total touches are with like the Joe Mixons and the Christian McCaffreys of the world. This guy is not owned roster in any leagues for the most part. So I think it's, this is easy. Like, you just grab Mark Ingram and you're good to go. You have a starting running back on your team if you need a running back. But the thing is, this was the perfect storm for the Houston Texans. They were playing with a lead the entire game. They won by 16 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Ingram only played 44% of the snaps, saw zero involvement in the passing game. So for me, I look at this and I don't think the Texans are a very good team. I think they're going to lose a lot of games this year. I think that means they're going to play behind a lot this year. And all indications are that Mark Ingram is not going to be on the field or involved whatsoever when the Texans are trailing in games. Jimmy Johnson is going to be there as the pass catching back. Philip Lindsay also is involved a little bit. He scored a touchdown for the Texans on Sunday as well. So, again, at 31 years old, you know, going after a running back based on that, I just cannot see it has been his best game all year. I really don't think it's all downhill for Mark Ingram. And if you look at just next week, they're playing the Cleveland Browns on the road, 11-point dogs on the road. And that just, to me, shapes up Mick Ingram just a massive bust in week two. And he's going to be back on the waiver wire. I can almost guarantee it. So Mark Ingram, not fall for the massive volume total he had in week one, 26 carries. It is a fool's goal would be the best way to describe it.
Now, what do you make of, because there's double news out of San Francisco. Mostert comes out today, announces he's done for the season, got injured in week one, so that's brutal. Elijah Mitchell, the running back, had 104 yards on 19 carries, including a touchdown. Is he legit? Or, you know, what about, you know, there's Hasty. What do you make of the running back position now in San Fran?
There's definitely been a lot of question marks about San Francisco. And look, I'll be the first to admit that it's a very ambiguous situation. You know, Kyle Shanahan is never very clear about what he plans to do at running back, and it's going to be some type of committee whatsoever. But what we know is whoever this lead of the committee is, they're always effective for fantasy football. And look, it would be one thing if I thought that Elijah Mitchell wasn't a good running back. Again, he was a day three pick. Sixth rounder, so draft capital would kind of indicate that, oh, this guy's really not that much of a player. But, you know, at PFF, we look at everything through the draft, and Elijah Mitchell was a player that stood out to me a lot, and I was really surprised that he went into day six. And actually, in my pre-draft rankings of the running backs, he was right next to Trey Sermon. They were neck and neck, back to back. So obviously, I moved Sermon up the rankings when he was drafted by the 49ers in the third round. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan and the coaching staff see these guys every single day at practice. And all indications are that, and what Kyle Shanahan said after the game was, Trey Sermon wasn't even good enough to be a top three running back on their team. And it was Mostert, Mitchell, Jermichael Hasty, and then Trey Sermon as the depth chart. So that's why he didn't play. And also has to do with the fact that he didn't play special teams, which is why he was inactive. So it's a tricky situation, obviously, but, you know, Elijah Mitchell, it wasn't fool's goal what we saw. Like, this guy's a super explosive running back. And if you look at Trey Sermon, what he did at the college level, his biggest hurdle that he had to overcome was he never, ever took over a backfield. He never did it. So to now proclaim, well, no, he's going to be the guy again, it's like, look, man, he may have already lost the job to Elijah Mitchell. I mean, Elijah Mitchell started in the game, after Marie Mostert got hurt, and he rushed for 100 yards right off the bat. So I can't see, envision Kyle Shanahan being like, oh, well, I'm going to go back to Sermon now because he's earned it, because it seems like Elijah Mitchell's earned it. So, again, this isn't the consensus take. You're going to see Mitchell go for a very wide variety of bids this, you know, as the waiver wire period runs. But I want him on my team. I want him on my team. I'm willing to bid aggressively to get him where it's waiver wire, you know, free agent auction budget. I think you should go after him because I think that he's the best running back on this team right now. And I think that's who you should go for. And I think that he could potentially be one of these guys that has a James Robinson type of effect on your fantasy football team 2021. So I'm in on Elijah Mitchell, out on Mark Ingram.
All right. Andrew Erickson from PFF joined us talking about fantasy football. Now, the receivers, you know, there's lots of them who had pretty good weeks. You look at, obviously, Sterling Shepard with the New York Giants had a pretty good week. There's Christian Kirk with Arizona. Now, Zach Pascal had two touchdowns with Indianapolis, but he also only had 43 yards, so maybe a little bit less on him. KJ Osborne had 9 targets, 7 catches for 76 yards, but they also have Thielen and they also have Jefferson. So I would be hesitant there. So give me your thoughts on Shepard, Kirk, and Jalen Reagor from the Eagles.
Yeah, I think that Shepard is just a guy that is just always super underrated. Like, he's just perennially this player that continues to produce, but gets kind of pigeonholed into this. Oh, well, he's like he's a slot receiver. He doesn't do much. And he's boring. But it's really not the case. If you look at, like, every game that he's played with Daniel Jones, even before 2021, he averaged 15.9 fantasy points per game, top 15. And he was always the leader in target rate. So he was always getting a ton of targets with Daniel Jones, the quarterback. And then, so to see him ball out in week one, 9 targets, 7 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown, was not surprised whatsoever. Sterling Shepard has always commanded targets at a high level, especially with Daniel Jones under center. So I think that he is the safest wide receiver you can add off the waiver wire because targets are always going to be there. They've never not been there for Sterling Shepard. It's actually a funny joke. I think that, like, dating back to 2018, I think there's one game where he doesn't have at least 6 targets. So it's like a streak of like over 50 games. So he has at least 6 targets except for one game. Obviously, he's missed some time with some injury, so it's not 50 consecutive games. But when he's playing and healthy, he's always been involved in the game plan. So Sterling Shepard, I think, is by far the best player out of those guys that you mentioned.
There are a few guys that interest me a little bit, like Hunter Renfrew. For Vegas. So you watched them last night. Like, that's against a Baltimore. You historically had pretty decent defensive team. Now, they threw the ball 56 times last night. So, you know, that's another one. And then the other receiver that is escaping my, who am I thinking of right now? Out of Buffalo, Emmanuel Sanders, right? Pretty driven track record. What do you make of those two guys? Because, you know, targets are usually a pretty good indication of where a guy might go. But obviously, if you throw 56 times in a game, you're going to expect the guy's targets to go down because I don't see the Raiders throwing 56 times every game.
Yeah, so what I would say, so Hunter Renfrow is a player that the Raiders just really like a lot. Like, he's going to stay involved in the offense. It's funny, you know, a lot of people were hyping up Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs throughout the offseason, and I actually talked to a Raiders reporter. He came on my radio show that I do with SiriusXM Fantasy Football, and he came on and straight up said, no, like, after Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow is going to leave the team in targets and receptions. So that, I was shocked by that. I was like, oh, man, like, I have to move Renfrow up my rankings because I was pretty convinced, oh, Edwards or Ruggs, you know, two talented guys, college players, like, hopefully can take a step into year two. It's like, no, it's going to be the Renfrow show again. Like, he's just, again, kind of like a Sterling Shepard, where a sexy guy, a sexy name, so he's a small white wide receiver guy, but he just produces. And we saw it, you know, last night. Like, the guy's good. Like, he gets open, he catches the ball, he does his job. So he's going to continue to be involved. I think Bryan Edwards has more upside as, like, a long-term asset, but we saw last night, like, Darren Waller show, and none of these other guys are really reliable whatsoever. So really, it really might take an injury to Waller for any of these guys to even stand out, but you need somebody to produce as a safe floor, it's definitely Hunter Renfrow. And on Emmanuel Sanders, I have concerns about Emmanuel Sanders. I get that he has the targets, but he also plays in a very pass-heavy offense. So So the numbers are a bit skewed when you look at the entire passing pie the Bills have. They just pass way more than other teams. So when you look at his actual share of the targets, it's not nearly as impressive. So I think he had, it was like 9 targets he had in the first game that the Bills played this season. His target share was 16%. So that's really more like middle of the road. And if you look at his production, it really hasn't been that good. He hasn't really been that efficient with the targets he's gotten so far. Even in the preseason game when he played with Josh Allen, he wasn't that great. So he has also not graded very well with PFF's grading. You know, through preseason in week one, he's at 58.5 PFF receiving grade. He's only caught 8 of his 14 targets, less than 1 yard per route run. He's 34 years old. So to me, I'm getting a lot of like AJ Green vibes from Emmanuel Sanders a little bit, where last year we saw AJ Green, like, okay, AJ Green was getting targets last year too. He just never converted them into anything because he was old and just kind of did not have that same step anymore. And Emmanuel Sanders is 34. I mean, it's not crazy to think that maybe he's way past his prime. And Gabriel Davis is a player that I cannot imagine they're going to keep on the bench that much longer. Look, he and Emmanuel Sanders, again, Emmanuel Sanders is running more routes than he is, but it's just a matter of time, I think, until Gabriel Davis kind of unseats him as the number 3 receiver on the Bills. So I'm just kind of shying away from Sanders.
And Andrew, one last one regarding quarterbacks. Jameis Winston, I don't know if in NFL history any quarterbacks ever passed for 5 touchdowns and only 148 passing yards, but he did. You know, Derek Carr had 435 passing yards. Jared Goff had 338, and I don't think Detroit's going to be that good. So, you know, out of those three, who do you like long-term for fantasy?
For me, it's 100,000% Jameis Winston. I do not want to go anywhere near Jared Goff. Most of his production came in the fourth quarter, and 49ers were sitting back, running a cake vanilla defense. It was awful in that game. Like, the raw numbers are nice, but I've streamed Blake Bortles enough times to realize that when you chase garbage time, it usually ends up in your face. It's just not a very good strategy, in my opinion. You know, I've tried and true approach. It has not worked out in my favor. So I would stay away from Jared Goff. Derek Carr, again, you know, if you watched the game last night, like, he was inaccurate a lot of the game. And obviously, he threw so much that it made up for it. Whereas Jameis Winston, he got it done with efficiency. He threw 5 touchdowns and just 24 passing attempts. So I like Jameis Winston to not necessarily contain that or maintain that efficiency, but, you know, he's got to throw more too. So I think that showed us that he's legit against the Packers defense, against Carolina in week 2, which I don't think is a very strong matchup defensively. So I think that he can beat their defense. So I will go with James Vincent.
Andrew, always good to catch up with you, man. I really appreciate it. Enjoy the week.
Thank you. Good luck.